This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala We show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors, the bounties, the gifts that He has bestowed upon us. For indeed we'll never be able to count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we continue with the seerah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, specifically the lessons that we extract from all of the events and the occasions that occurred in the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And today we deal with Aamul Huzn, the year of sadness. Why was it called Aamul Huzn? Very important question. In the approximately the 10th year, the 10th year of the revelation of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away one of the pillars and one of the most trusted people to the Nabi alayhi wasallam, and that was Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha bint Khuwaylid, of course the daughter of Khuwaylid, the first mu'minah, the first believer, the first one that stood with the Nabi alayhi wasallam, the first one that saw to the honesty of the Nabi alayhi wasallam and she believed in him immediately, the first one also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant for the Nabi alayhi wasallam to be his first wife. And we know that Sayyidah Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, Nabi alayhi wasallam spoke about her in so many different ways in various ahadith that speaks about her virtue, that speaks about her status, it speaks about how close she was with the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the 10th year of revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha from the dunya. And of course, at the end of the day, that is where we all go in Jamaat al-Muslimin. It's a reality that we have to face. You know, the funny part is a lot of times people ask you to make dua for them to go to Jannah, but everybody wants to enter Jannah, but nobody wants to die. But that's the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that verily everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to him our return. So Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha is then taken. And we know that some of the virtues that the Nabi alayhi wasallam spoke, I mean, she was like his minister. She was everything to him. She was basically the backbone of the Nabi alayhi wasallam. That whenever the Nabi alayhi wasallam used to face any difficulty, you know, of course there was so much difficulty, so many harm came from all of Quraysh to the Nabi alayhi wasallam and the tribulations that he went through and all of these difficult, challenging times. Who was the person that always would comfort him? Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha. You know, that's the wife. You know, the husband, he goes out, he faces the world, and whatever happens outside there, as long as he comes home and he knows that the wife is there, his family is there, his support is there, his love is there, then no matter what you throw in front of the man, he's able to face it. But you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us that the Nabi is not any man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test him more than what we are tested with Jamaat al-Muslimin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to take Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha. And of course, qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been placed out. Some of the things that we also know of Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, that for instance, one day the Nabi alayhi wasallam, there was a time when the Nabi alayhi wasallam, the wahi was paused, revelation was paused for a few days, some say weeks, some say months. And the Nabi alayhi wasallam had this fear within his heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is disappointed in him. Subhanallah. The best of creation was worried whether Allah is disappointed in him. Imagine us, Jamaat al-Muslimin. The Nabi alayhi wasallam was concerned, what is happening? Why is the wahi cut? Why is the pause? And Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha then tells the Nabi alayhi wasallam, kalla wallahi ma yuhzik Allahu abada. She says, never will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever disappoint you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never leave you. Why? Because she was that support for her husband, and she knew the honesty and the trustworthiness of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, they say the best man to know you the best person to know is your wife. You know, it can be something outside, but when it's indoors, that's when you see the true person, you see the true colors of a person. And if a person is able to deal with you while they're in the house, they know that that person loves you. You know, we have so many faults and so many mistakes, but if our wives and our husbands still loves us at the end of the day, subhanallah, they indeed are in love with us. And we ask Allah to grant all of the couples that they are granted a long umr together, full of khair and barakah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha was that person. She tells Rabbi Ali Sassam, Kalla wallahi ma yukhzikallahu abada. Allah will never disappoint you, ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah. Why? She says, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمِ. You are the one that connect with your family. You show the utmost importance of family. What's the unit within our community? You establish that. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. And you carry other people. You know, you try to help them out. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. And you give those that do not have. وَتُكَرُّ الضَّيْفِ أو تَكْرِ الضَّيْفِ. And you honor your guest. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And you help people in order to assist them to get to what is the truth. And to get what is the haqq and what is just. And all of these beautiful characteristics that belonged to the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she was there to support him. She was there as a pillar, as a foundation for the Nabi alayhi sallam. And that was the internal side of the life of the Nabi alayhi sallam, that Sayyid Khadija radiallahu anha played such a huge role within his life. And for instance, we know of some of the riwayat that the Nabi alayhi sallam used to slaughter, of course, dhabh, slaughter sheep and sacrifice, and he would actually specifically and intentionally keep a portion of the meat aside, and he would still give it and order the Sahaba to contribute it towards the family and the friends of Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, to an extent that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, you know, wives get jealous, and that's natural. So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha got a bit jealous, and she said, why are you doing this? Why Khadija? Why are you sending it to the friends? And the Rabbi Ali Sussam said, I was granted her love as a rizq, as sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. That was the love and the compassion and the mercy that Rabbi Ali Sassam had with his wife. And subhanallah, it's a lesson for us to learn, Jamaat al-Muslimin, on how to deal with each other as spouses, how to deal with each other as partners, ka nafsin wahida, as one soul, that whatever I do will affect the next one, and whatever that one does, it will affect me, because you will not want to harm yourself, so therefore you do not harm your partner. And that was the Nabi with his wives. He was one, as if it's one nafs, one soul, that he lived with them and he loved them and he cherished them and he supported them and he was there for them in all of the different aspects of their lives. And one of the hadith also explains and says that one day Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, the Nabi alayhi sallam was speaking about Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, and Sayyidah Aisha, again, you know, getting jealous, which is natural. It's natural for a woman to get jealous. It's natural also for a man to get jealous. But of course, nothing in Islam calls to extremism. We an ummah that is wasat, an ummah that is moderate in everything that we do. Even istinja, cleaning ourselves when it comes to relieving ourselves, and we clean ourselves. That even Zainab alayhi sallam encouraged tawassut, be moderate in that. So therefore, everything else we are moderate. We don't go to the extreme that will harm people, that will slander people, that will backbite people, that will make them feel the worse. No, that is not what Islam encourages. So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, she is a bit jealous. And the Nabi alayhi sallam speak about her, and she says, well, you know, why are you speaking about this woman? She passed away, and Allah has, and he changed, Allah has given you, replaced you with better. And the Nabi alayhi sallam immediately gets upset. He gets upset and he says, Wallahi ma abdalani Allahu iyaha. He says that, Wallahi, by Allah, nobody has ever replaced Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha in his life. He says, آمنت بي إذ كفر الناس. She believed in me while the people disbelieved in me. وصدقتني إذ كذبني الناس. And she saw to my honesty, even though other people and majority of people saw that I was a liar. ووسطني بمالها. And she helped me with her money, finance, يعني, when people cut the Rabbi alayhi sallam. Because remember, there was a time when they did not want to do business with the Rabbi alayhi sallam. They did not want to give him, they did not want to sell him anything, and so on. But Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha helped the Rabbi alayhi sallam in that way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted for me walad, sons, and sons from Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, that no other woman was ever able to give the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha gave the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, that is not the only challenge that the Nabi alayhi sallam goes through. That's not the only difficulty he goes through. What happens after about approximately 1 month and a few days, about 1 month and 10 days, they say, that the Nabi alayhi salam, for 5 days, the Nabi alayhi salam, after losing Sayyidina Khadija, now he loses who? Abu Talib, his uncle. His uncle that was his defender. His uncle that was his pillar from outside. You know, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha was the pillar within. She was the protection within. She was the comforter within. And Abu Talib was the comforter from outside, was the defender of outside. He was there to stand against anybody that tried to harm or kill the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He protected him with his life, even though he was not on the same deen, as mentioned according to records and history. Of course, at the end of the day, nobody knows exactly the state of every single person of the dunya. You don't know what can happen within the small moments. And even though there's a lot of sources that have reached us that speaks about what happened, again, these things are history, meaning it can be changed. Meaning it's subject to change. It's not preserved as the Quran and wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we say about the parents and the uncle and all of these people that protected and loved and defended the Nabi alayhi salam, even though they might have not, according to our knowledge, they might not become Muslim? We say they are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah knows best what is going to happen to them. But Abu Talib, he gave up, he was there to give up his life for the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to an extent that when they were going through the boycott that the Nabi alayhi salam faced, he said, no matter what they throw to us, wallahi la nusallimu hatta tamutu man indana akhiruna. He says, wallahi, no matter what they try and what they do and what they throw to us, we will not give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up, even if the last man is standing is one of us and he dies. We will not give up the Nabi alayhi salam. This was the support or the show that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the one also that when the Nabi alayhi salam informed him about the sahifa, the scripture that they wrote down about the treat, about the boycott that they would have against the Banu Hashim, Banu Abdul Muttalib, and the Nabi alayhi salam told Abu Talib about it, and they saw it. He said, Saddaqa ibn Akhi, my brother's son has spoken the truth. So therefore, Abu Talib was one that supported the Nabi alayhi salam, and he also, not only that, but with his money, with his blood, with his nafs, with his own self, with his family, Abu Talib gave everything up for the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn Hisham, he says, فلما هلك أبو طالب نالت قريش من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأذى ما لم تكن تطمع به في حياة أبي طالب. That as soon as Abu Talib passed away, the Nabi alayhi salam faced so much difficulty that you would never have seen that before the death of Abu Talib. Why? Because they were scared of Abu Talib, in a sense that they knew that Abu Talib is not a man to mess around with. Why? Because he was a man of haqq. He was a man that stood upon what is right and what is just, and people supported him for that. So he had allies, and that's why they were too scared to touch the Nabi alayhi salam, because he was under the protection of Abu Talib. And Abu Talib passes away, Ibn Hisham says, now they start to attack and abuse and slander the Nabi alayhi salam, even on a different scale. They tried to harm him, yes, to a certain extent they did, but now it becomes in a different scale, much more higher scale, that they harm and attack the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Until one day, one of the riwayat mentions that the Nabi alayhi salam was walking between an alley, and there was a man that was on top between the two houses, and he was waiting for the Nabi alayhi salam to come down, and he had a huge bag or packet that had dirt and sand in it. And as the Nabi alayhi salam walks by, he throws it on the head of the Nabi alayhi salam, and it covers him completely. Dirt, Jamaat Muslimin, don't think of dirt that is not, dirt that is clean. No. They tried to humiliate the Nabi alayhi salam, humiliate him in all of the ways that they could. And this man then takes this dirt, facade, smell of dirt and sand and all together, and he throws it upon the Nabi alayhi salam. Until to the extent the Nabi alayhi salam walks into his house, and one of his daughters see this. Can you imagine your father that you love so much? The father that you honor, a father that you will make sure nobody attacks or harms or slander. If they should say anything in front of you about your father or your mother, you will be there to protect them. Can you imagine when your father's is being attacked and he's being harmed, and it's almost as if people are trying to disgrace him? Can you imagine? And you stand and you can see what is happening to him. How would you feel? So the Nabi alayhi salam then enters into his house, and the daughters see what they have done to their father, and subhanallah, they start to cry, and they start to worry, and they start to have this huge concern for the Nabi alayhi salam. And the one daughter gets up and she rubs off the sand and the dirt of the Nabi alayhi salam, his hair, his head, his beard, his clothes, everything. Can you imagine your father, you dusting off, that carried you, that protected you, that defended you, that played with you, that taught you, that gave you? That man is being treated in this way, and she's rubbing off her father. Subhanallah. She's rubbing off the Rabbi alayhi salam, and she starts to cry. And the Rabbi alayhi salam tells her, لا تبكي يا بنيتي فإن الله مانع أباكي. Look at the tawakkul and the yaqeen the Nabi had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, don't cry, my girl, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that he will see to your father. Subhanallah. This was the yaqeen that the Nabi alayhi salam had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah and the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called this year, as we said, because of the challenges that he faced with the passing of Sayyidina Khadija and the passing of Abu Talib. But more than anything else, it was because when Abu Talib passed away, most of the doors of da'wah was closed to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He could not freely go out in Quraysh and now talk to people, because if he tried it, they would really shut him up, they would harm, they would attack him. That to an extent that Abu Jahl one day came and the Rabbi alayhi salam was in salah, not even calling people, he was in salah, and he took his foot and he pushed it hard against the neck of the Rabbi alayhi salam, pushing his head into the sand. Subhanallah, can you imagine this? This is our Nabi, the best of mankind, and this khabith, this filth, does this to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, harming him in such a way. And this was the Rabbi alayhi salam faced. And subhanallah, when Abu Talib passed away, a lot of the doors of da'wah closed, and that was the main reason that Rabbi alayhi salam was sad. That's why he called it Amul Huzn. Because you must understand, at the end of the day, the Nabi is not about himself. He's not worried about himself. He's not concerned about himself to the level that he has for us as his ummah, as his jama'ah, as those people that are going to need the intercession of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. He's more worried and concerned about us than anything else. So Nabi alayhi salam's main worry and concern that year was most of the doors of the da'wah was closed. And a lot of people were too scared now to follow the Nabi alayhi salam, because at least in Abu Talib's time, there was some sort of person or individual that could stand up against anybody that's trying to harm this da'wah to a certain degree. But now that Abu Talib is gone, now the Nabi alayhi salam is almost as if he's left alone, and this closes a lot of doors of da'wah. And some of the ulama, they explain, you know, sometimes we try to extract lessons behind these events, even though it's not wahi, it's not revelation, it's not like that is why Allah decreed for it in that way, because we will never be able to encompass or comprehend the hikmah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some ulama, they try to extract that, you see, one of the wisdoms why we see Abu Talib being taken so early and Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha taken so early is because, you see, when a man is in his comfort zone, he's okay. But as soon as you take him out of his comfort zone, naturally his position changes. He changes, personality changes, his focus changes, everything changes when you take him out of his comfort zone. But now the Nabi alayhi salam is placed through this tribulation and this challenge in order to prove that the da'wah is haq and he will never change. The da'wah is not subject to change. He can't leave of the da'wah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him as a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to give over the risala, the message. And therefore, we see this is one of the wisdom they say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the both internal and external out of the life of the Nabi alayhi salam in the form of Khadija and Abu Talib, so to show people that he's honest and trustworthy when it comes to this, because he's speaking about the truth. One thing also that the ulama explained, he said, the reason why Abu Talib was also taken is because, you know, if Abu Talib had to still be alive, it might have been said that it was because the Rabbi alayhi salam was lucky that he was not harmed. You know, he had his uncle all the time. So this message that he's given over, he didn't go that through that much. You know, it's you know, like they say, the more harder the task is, the more worth, and you feel towards it, it's worthy to you. So it might be that people come out and say, look here, look at Abu Talib, he's all the time under his protection. So people might think that it's Abu Talib that's the main guy behind this, and he's just pushing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some ulama explained, this is one of the hikam, one of the wisdoms that we may extract from this event in this occasion, to show that it wasn't Abu Talib that started this message, it wasn't a qawmi message, wasn't a clan kind of a message, it was the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was not a Banu Hashim political movement as some of the people think. One of the things also that we extract, learning about the specific special occasion of the Rabbi alayhi salam in his life, is that we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to remind the Rabbi alayhi salam and trying to show us as his ummah that protection, safetiness, All of the things that the Nabi alayhi salam was granted as a gift and as a ni'mah, it does not come from Abu Talib, neither does it come from Khadija. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what the Nabi alayhi salam says, Inna Allah mani abaki. Allah will take care of your father. Why? Because at the end of the day, there is nothing that happens except by the qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the most important thing for us to understand is that we need to have that patience and perseverance when we deal with these situations. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, بَعْضَ أَوْدِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and glad tidings, of course the ayah starts, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But give glad tidings, we're going to test you through fear. Loss of wealth, loss of family, life, loss of also hunger, of course, we're going to be placed through all of these tests. And the beautiful things within the dunya, Allah is going to test us with all of these things. But He says, but glad tidings for those that have sabr. Why? Because sabr is one of the maqamat of anbiya. It's one of the statuses and ranks of the anbiya. That the anbiya, they were known. That's how we know ulul azmi min ar-rusul, the five or the six that were known to have the most patience and perseverance. Why? Because they went through the most difficulty and most challenges. The Nabi alayhi salam said in a hadith, ashaddu an-nas ibtila'an al-anbiya thumma al-amthalu fal-amthal. The most people that go through the most trials and tribulations are the anbiya, the prophets, the messengers, and those that follow him and those that follow them. So to a certain extent, when Allah tests you a lot, it's one of the signs that you can extract, that is that He loves you a lot. Or it can be that He loves you so a lot that He wants you to wake up from what you are doing. He wants you to get that wake up call to say, my slave, this is what you're supposed to be doing, not what you are doing now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. And as we see, the Nabi alayhi salam shows that complete sabr and patience and perseverance within the face of all of these challenges and tribulations, and He does not give up. He keeps on to the message and He carries on. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him that strength and gives him that patience and gives him that perseverance that he's not going to give up. And subhanallah, look at now, the message of the Rabbi alayhi salam is all over the world. 1.2, 1.4 billion people that are Muslim in the world, and that's all because of the patience and the perseverance and the yaqeen and the iman and the level of nubuwwah that the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on, and that he never gave up on his ummah. You know, now somebody might ask, but Shaykh, you're saying that Allah protects him, but Allah says, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas, Allah will protect you from people, but the Nabi alayhi salam was still harmed. No, that ayah specifically speaking about that the kuffar and the mushrikeen will never be able to stop the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will never be able to take him out. Allahu mutimmu nurihi walau kariha al-kafirun. That Allah will make sure that his nur, the light of guidance, will be complete even though the disbelievers dislike it. That is a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted for the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is also a lesson for the Sahaba and for us, that لكل موسى فرعون. For every Musa, there's a Fir'aun. And for every da'i, there's a Fir'aun. Everybody that calls in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter who you are, you're trying to become a better person, you're trying to guide and advise other people, you are going to have objection. Why? Because shaitan never leaves an opportunity where somebody can better themselves. Shaitan will try his luck in every single way. Shaitan does not sleep. Yes, we need to sleep, but we need to be aware all the time. Shaitan does not sleep in the way that he plots against us and the way that he attacks and tries to harm us and tries to stop us from khair. We need to be aware of these things, and we need to make sure that we equip ourselves with sabr, patience, and perseverance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Isbiru wa sabiru. Have a patience and sabiru, meaning also support each other, to show each other and guide each other and encourage other to have sabr between each other. Compete with each other to show that you are one ummah, and that you have the utmost patience when it comes to challenges. Why? Because at the end of the day, you know that it's only qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything that you face. As the Nabi alayhi salam said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat. Ihfadillah, yahfaduk. Protect Allah and Allah will protect you. Ihfadillah, tajidhu tujahak. Protect Allah and you will find Him in front of you in the sense of supporting you. Lo anna nas ijtamu ala an yanfa'uka bishayn, ma yanfa'uka bishayn illa ma katab Allahu lak, or kama qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. that if all of the people, all of creation had to come together and try to benefit you, they will not be able to benefit you except for what Allah has decreed for. وَإِنْ اجْتَمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ, and if they try to come together to harm you, لَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ, they will not be able to harm you with anything except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed. So therefore, of course, we need to show tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but with tawakkul comes sabr and iman and yaqeen and perseverance. Don't give up. Keep strong. The Rabbi says, Al-Mu'min al-Qawi, Khayru ahabbu ila Allah min al-Mu'min al-Da'if. The one that is strong in what? In the way that he challenges things, the way that he handles things. Not strong in the sense of body built, no. A person that is able to handle. The Rabbi said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a thin person. If you had to weigh his legs alone, it will be heavier than the mountain of Uhud in gold. Why? Because the heart of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was as heavy as that. It was full of iman, taqwa, tawakkul, yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we extract, that even though this, the Nabi is the best of creation, it's the sunnah of the sunnahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the kawn, that the most loved to him will face the most trials and tribulations, like Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam went through, and all of the other anbiya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about that within the Quran. So therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding, grant us the quwwah, the strength and the power in order to face the trials and tribulations that comes our way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firm our feet upon this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.